In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What about the Bears makes you most curious today? The injury report, Matt Eberflus explanations, Caleb Williams' mood, or is there something else?
Well, the injury report is going to be important. You want to find out who's able to play. I don't think I want to hear many more of Matt Eberflus's explanations. Doesn't resonate with me. I would imagine Caleb will be in a pretty good mood because he's coming off a pretty good game. But, you know, you always want to kind of judge the vibe of the team, and you can do that on a Wednesday. And I'll be curious to see how that is sitting with the Bears, the loss they had last week. I hope it is motivating them. And I feel like kind of the way that that we heard Mike Florio yesterday. Like, there's more of a chance here than maybe people give them, because it's a familiar opponent. And even though the Vikings have had a great year, they are stalling a little bit on offense. I think the general vibe, but the injury list will be, again, very important. I'm very curious to see if there is a larger issue. I am just concerned about Elijah Hicks, and I just because he's a starter now, because you're missing Jaquan Brisker, and I am definitely curious about Tevin Jenkins, the Willie or Woney or Kenny or what happens there, and how you're going to line him up on the line. And there's always like a surprise guy that ends up being a little more banged up than you thought.
Right, is Montez Sweat all of a sudden going to pop up on that list? Because it looks like, if anything, you're almost hoping to a certain extent that he's been gutting it out because he hasn't been delivering. He hasn't been getting to the quarterback, so maybe he pops up on the list. I want everybody to be healthy. I wasn't thrilled with Caleb Williams' mood after the game on Sunday.
Not sullen enough for you?
Not right, and I'm wondering if he'll be a little bit more middled today, a little bit more down the road. Hey guys, how's everybody doing? Go Bears! Like,
you don't want the bear claw?
No. He can save that. He can save the bear claw, Baron von Raschke. I thought we decided yesterday that Matt Eberflus is just going to take a fine and not address the media, so we didn't get any more of his explanations to chew on. Guess not.
The injury list will be interesting because Tevin Jenkins could be back. Ryan Bates, I wonder if he's in protocol and what to expect from the offensive line. Yeah, Montez Sweat might be on it. But I think that what Caleb Williams says and how he describes his growth after watching the tape with Thomas Brown and the Thomas Brown effect, if you will, is very interesting to me today and moving forward. There are 7 games left, and I do wonder if you look at the remainder of the season and if Caleb Williams does end. And there's a clear point where the consistency has arrived and this new offensive coordinator and play caller helps him gain some of the consistency that has eluded him so far. I wonder what that means moving forward. Because if there is a coaching search, Thomas Brown has a chance to align himself with Caleb Williams in a way that could make things very interesting in terms of who you hire, in terms of who you pursue, in terms of the conversations with the next head coach. Is Thomas Brown in a position to put himself in position to make a claim to stay and coach this young quarterback? Or to be part of is he the offensive mind if you hire a defensive-minded head coach or a head coach that isn't a young offensive play caller. So all these things are related to what Caleb Williams does for the rest of the season. And today, I think we'll get a glimpse of how he processed what happened on Sunday. And I understand he was in a more jovial mood or more upbeat frame of mind than maybe people would have liked Sunday. But I also think that you have to remember, young guy, had not experienced that kind of inconsistency for three games in a row, finally started to turn things around, and maybe that was part of it. So I'm looking forward to see how he handles himself today.
Yeah, great question.
What do you make of the White Sox adding Brewers run prevention coordinator Walker McKibben as their new bench coach, according to their skipper, Will Venable? McKibben is an Evanston native, Nutcher High grad, who started as a video advanced scout, went through the series of promotions to get to now his current role. A former pitcher, he's known for doing great work with catchers.
Comes from the Brewers organization, worked for Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy, and comes very highly regarded with a reputation for being a cerebral guy. Odd when you hire a bench coach who's 35 years old. Typically is the grizzled veteran, the guy who's been around the block a lot and can sit there and tell you about the good old days. To Walker McKibben, the good old days, he was like in high school when the White Sox won the World Series. So this is somebody who is a local guy, Winnetka, Nutrier, Evanston, all those connections. 35 years old, he's a run prevention coordinator. It's quite a title, but smart guy. He joins a Princeton graduate who hired a director of hitting who is Ryan Fuller, who is a high school English teacher in the past. And they work for Chris Getz, who's 42 and a Michigan man. I don't know if the White Sox are going to be any good at baseball, but they sure could be good at Jeopardy or the Quiz Bowl. This is a smart group of people coming together. I don't know what it all means, but it tells me that you might want to get used to the This feels like a nod and a lean toward the analytics movement, more so than maybe you see with a lot of teams. A young guy as the bench coach.
Great catch there, David. I meant that pun about the analytics and maybe that coming together for the team on the south side here. I do scratch my head and wonder, well, if he was available. I know Craig Counsell's trying to remake his staff over on the other side of town. And maybe there was, maybe behind the scenes, maybe someday we'll find out that there was a bidding war for this guy, right? Maybe the bench coach role wasn't available. Maybe they wanted to make him the catching game coordinator. And that just, you know, obviously being the bench coach is a higher spot in the pecking order of things. I watched an interview about him yesterday. He's a very impressive guy. You know, we like to say on the show, local guy made good. Here's a local guy, you know, lots of connections. That's pretty cool. Catching hasn't been a great position for either side of town, so he can only help the White Sox catchers become better. So I think that's a good thing. I mean, I don't see anything negative about this. Now, I don't know what that means, like you said, in the win and loss column, but this definitely seems like an upgrade. And a younger, here's another thing to your point, David, that you made, which is excellent. A younger guy doing that job. Usually these are older guys and just drinking buddies or card playing buddies of the skipper.
Yeah, well, they hired a first-time manager last time out with Pedro, and they got themselves a guy that fit that mold, the grizzly veteran guy, and he didn't want the job when it opened up. So I don't have a problem with them doing a youth movement with all of the people that are coming in with their young group. I think what I really like about this, I like a lot about it, is, you know, the White Sox have to be kind of brought in kicking and screaming to the modern ideas of analytics and sabermetrics, which have been around for 50 years. But they you know, apparently are now building up that area, and they go out and they get smart people and people that are aware of this. And just listen to the jargony titles that Jim Margulis put together here with Walker McKibben. He started as a video advanced scout. He was then promoted to advanced scouting coordinator, and then promoted to major league strategy manager, and then promoted to associate pitching, catching, and strategy coach before becoming his current role. And you look at it and you say, what is a logical progression? You know, he's a bench coach. He's getting closer to being a manager if that's what he wants to do. So he apparently worked very well with the catchers and did a very good job with Contreras when he took over that kind of more of a role.
Best catcher in baseball right now.
A former pitcher who's working with catcher. I mean, you look at the White Sox and, you know, Corey Lee doesn't have a great reputation as a game manager. He can hit a little bit, and it looks like he'll be the starter. But Edgar Cuero is one of the gems in their minor league system, and he'll be coming up in a year or two. I think it's a real good hire because I think so far with Will Venable and all the people he has brought in, it's pretty impressive what they're trying to do. I think we see a trend going on here with the White Sox where it's not about recapturing the past or trying to make up
for
a guy. No.
At all.
You're going out and you're hiring people from other organizations that have done very well there and have moved up in good organizations, winning organizations. I like it. I like it a lot. I have a lot of faith in Will Venable. We had a nice conversation with him. I feel like, you know, it's been a while since you could have Theo come on and just answer any question. And I think these guys are giving me that vibe. And I like it. I like it a lot.
You know, I think that's a question for Jed Hoyer and Tom and Carter.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer, and it sounds like we're going to be hearing plenty more of Pat and Ron right here on The Score, our voices of the summertime with Cubs baseball here on The Score. What was the bigger surprise move, in your opinion, the Cubs DFAing right-handed pitcher Adbert Alzolay, or how about outfielder Brennan Davis? Was it a surprise or just an example of guys once highly thought of who just no longer fit in?
Yeah, you know, this is the kind of stuff that happens at this time of year when you're, you know, having to protect people from the Rule 5 stuff, and you're having to make sure that your 40-man, all that matches up. And so when you take people off the roster, you have to DFA them. Adbert Alzolay is a bigger surprise because he was really important and a major league guy. Brennan Davis was a guy we waited for a long time. And really, a couple of years ago, he was one of the gems in the system. And you know, you feel bad because it's almost a reminder of it doesn't matter how highly thought of someone is. You know, there could be an injury out there. There could be something that happens that can stall a career or prevent a guy from ever being what you imagined he was going to be. And you let yourself get kind of caught up in, oh, look at this young guy and that young guy, and they got all these guys coming. It's a pity. It's like Brennan Davis, just it never happened for him. If I were the White Sox, I'd take a look at him. If I were the White Sox, I'd take a look at Alzolay. I mean, you look at teams that are kind of on the bottom of baseball, this is where you find players, and maybe you get lucky with different guys. But, you know, what do I know?
Well, health and injuries did in Brennan Davis. He was always the guy. He was ranked as high as, I believe, like 16, 15 in all of baseball back in like 2022, like minor league not just the Cubs. Like
top 20 bid in baseball.
All prospects. And now, basically, that's where Owen Casey is today. So to your point, Mully, you got to protect, you got to keep a guy like Owen Casey away from everybody else.
Yes.
Same thing with the pitcher they're protecting. Okay, that was a guy that came over in the Mike Leiter Jr. deal. Had a couple of decent outings. Most of that end of that season was forgettable for the Cubs, so you may not have noticed this guy. But this guy is going to be a big part of a Cubs bullpen that needed a reshuffling, if you will. And I'm guessing, unfortunately, Adbert Alzolay wasn't going to be available early on. Now, listen, you might Cub fans, you might see Adbert Alzolay might be back with the Cubs. He's just not a Cub today, and other teams now have the opportunity to go get him based on the Rule 5 if they think he's got something worthwhile to have as he recovers from Tommy John. But right now, he wasn't worth protecting.
It's a gamble that I would take if I were another team, and I think that you maybe this is naive, but it's hard to recall, and we don't pay a lot of attention, but you waive or get rid of guys, designate them for reassignment when they're injured and rehabbing. So this means he has to rehab not under the Cubs' eye or on their watch. So that's very interesting to me. I didn't expect that, so maybe that was a bigger surprise. As far as Davis goes, I think we all have gotten used to the idea of, you know, prospects who are highly rated not panning out. There's too many of them to start discussing now. The list is long. Brendan Davis at one point was, like, I think, 14th in Major League Baseball in terms of prospects. Interviewing him only left you with positive impressions. This was a guy that was very mature beyond his years. You thought if he could only stay healthy, this is going to be somebody who's going to thrive in Chicago. And then he couldn't stay healthy. And as much that's it, as much as anything. He had injuries, the back issue,
yep.
And now he's going to be somebody else's project. I do think he is worth a reclamation project. Maybe it is the White Sox. That would be something else. But he's the kind of prospect that they should probably keep an eye on because they need positional talent, young positional talent. But overall, I was more surprised by Alzolay just because of the nature of the injury and the fact that he, even though he may end up back in the Cub organization, maybe they know something behind the scenes, he's not coming back and he's rehabbing from Tommy John surgery, so this was not the news I expected.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I mean, I think you asked like four questions there.
Ah, that's the voice of Craig Counsell. Are you pleased to see Brewers manager Pat Murphy named the NL Skipper of the Year after leading the Brewers to the NL Central title? Hopefully you're watching on Twitch. How about Murphy getting 27 first-place votes to top the Padres' Mike Schilt? I did say Schilt. And the Mets' Carlos Mendoza.
This wasn't even close.
Right?
Pat Murphy, hands down, manager of the year in the National League. And the Cubs can look at that with envy, animosity, however they want to look at it, but they can't look away. Pat Murphy, at 65 years old, is the National League Manager of the Year, and I'm thrilled for him. Nice text exchange with Murph. Anybody that's known him for as long as I have known him understands that this is a surprise to everybody, but maybe him. He knew this was possible all along. This is why he wanted to be a manager in Major League Baseball. And to his credit, he did it. And true to his personality, he credited everybody else. He's grateful for the opportunity. The Brewers rallied around him. This was a team that played, I think, they were better than people expected. And this is the reward for that. And he's not going away. And so the Cubs have a nice little rivalry here. Craig Counsell comes down from Milwaukee. And the replacement now is the manager of the year. Oh, boy. So happy for Murph. And I think it's going to be fun to see how this Cubs-Brewer rivalry continues.
Boy, this is so damning. This is such a a gut punch as a Cub fan. I mean, you brought this guy down south of the Cheddar Curtain. You paid him more money than anybody by $2 million a year than anybody was even offering the guy. The guy was never ever going to move to New York. He wanted to stay near his children. He was never. So you negotiated against yourselves. I still have no idea why in the world the Cubs paid this guy what they paid him, especially considering they don't want to be in on a guy like Juan Soto. So the only thing I can hope for is that Council did such a great job setting things up in that clubhouse that it was basically turnkey for Murph. I don't believe that, but that's what I've got to hope.
I am really chuffed for Pat Murphy, which is very pleased for him. I think it's an English term, but I'm very happy for him. I think it's just great that a guy, you know, we had him on the show. I know you're tight with him, David. I know you've known him a long time. His story is incredible. How he got to Notre Dame as the head baseball coach. We had a chance to talk with him about it. He's a charming guy. He's a baseball lifer who has gotten an opportunity and made the most of it. And what does that tell you? I think it's fantastic. I think that I think it's really like a good deal all the way around. I would wager, Dustin, that Craig Counsell's really pleased for him too. I think he you know, that was his manager, and they've been close friends for a long time and a close confidant, and I'm sure he's just delighted for Pat Murphy. And he earned it. He deserved it. He did a great job. I am not feeling what you're feeling. I don't believe that I have concluded that Craig Counsell, that they made a mistake by hiring him. I think they're just putting their team together with him. And I think that we'll see what happens next year and the year after that. And I think it will go in the right direction. I don't look at this and say, well, you know, this was the man behind the man, and that I don't have your attitude about it, because I don't look at it that way. But I am really, honest to God, if a man named Mulligan can't enjoy a man named Pat Murphy getting a Manager of the Year award at 65, then what the hell are we doing?
Exactly.
This stuff for?
That's a great point. The other point too is that, do you really believe now? I guess we'll get into this later. Are the Cubs or the Brewers closer to winning a World Series? Dustin's look says it all.
I mean,
well, who's going to win a World Series first, Murphy or Craig Counsell?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because I don't know that the as good a job as they've done, I don't know that they aren't topped out, Dustin.
That's the thing.
I don't know where they're getting their great next pitcher from if they can't develop them on their own, because they can't go out and buy anybody. They can't go out and add to anything, and the Cubs have a lot.
Wasn't that the question that Craig Counsell probably asked himself before he decided to leave Milwaukee?
Yeah.
I love bitter beer face.
I love it here. I truly do. Next question.
What's your reaction to the latest college football playoff rankings, and what campus are the complaints loudest at this morning?
Honest to God, I think that the college playoff rankings, I think that they're not surprising to me in any way. They're not making like big moves or any. I think this whole story is one that is developing. And it will come down to, I'm not sure that they're giving us all the kernels of it, but the biggest story in college football is hearing Lane Kiffin say, yeah, I'm talking to other coaches. No one wants to be in the SEC championship game, because if you lose it, you won't get in the final 10, the 12. You are better off not being in a championship game, because the loser of the SEC could be eliminated. And that's all this is a setup to what is coming, which is, are there really going to be, out of the 12, four teams from the Big Ten and four teams from the SEC that are in the final 12? And if you got three losses, have you eliminated yourself? Are you better off not playing than playing and losing to a really good team? The strength of schedule stuff is out there. It looks like, from what the AP is doing and what the college football rankings are doing, kind of going off that they're not concerned about who you've played or how good they are. Have you looked at who Penn State has beaten? I saw somebody tweeted out their entire schedule and how those Illinois, by far the best team they've beaten, the only team they've beaten with only three losses. It's unbelievable, man. And this is going to be setting up one of the great kind of standoffs of all time. I'm really enjoying this because it's just lighting a little bit of a wick, and we'll see where that explosion ends up.
The best part is looking ahead, using the rankings they came up with last night and looking who might play who, and then if you win that game, who you then would play. Like where Notre Dame sits right now, that's where my interest is the most. We were talking about before the show, if everything's held to form, they would play Alabama at South Bend with the winner having to play Oregon. So it's like, wait a minute, like, gosh, what an unbelievably right. tough road right. to survive in advance, right? And that's kind of what you're looking at. The other thing last night.
But last week they were at Tennessee in the first round, right?
Correct. So having home. A home game should be greater than being on the road.
Although, you know, Alabama coming in, not exactly.
Alabama's still Alabama, right? They've got lots of pros on that roster. The other thing, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, not right now, but later if you guys want to go there. But I don't know if you saw that Joey Galloway suggested on the Four Letter Network show
yes.
that the Hoosiers bench their quarterback.
Don't play him because he could get hurt.
Because he could get hurt. Yep. And then if the quarterback is hurt, they're for sure not going to be a wild card team.
Yep. It's a Florida State rule. He's right. You know, he said
the quiet
part out loud, and so did Lane Kiffin.
That's right.
These are the things that these are the loopholes that you don't want to address, but you can't really deny.
So you like that bubble wrap idea?
I don't like it. I hate it.
But based on what happened
right.
Florida State,
based on recent history, I understand the logic there. If you're Indiana, you're on the verge of making history and all kinds of dough. You know, I know that's the and helping your program exponentially. I get what he's saying. He's scarred by last year's process.
But wouldn't that be like a discredit to the game? Like, that's fundamentally
Yeah,
like,
how long's that last? A day? I mean, you're discrediting the game. People will forget if you are in the college football playoffs.
Who are you?
I'm just saying. I understand what he's saying.
I'm shocked.
I don't like it.
He is saying the quiet part out loud.
I hate it, Dustin.
I don't think you'd agree with it.
I don't agree with it.
But he is absolutely... Indiana loses this game. They should get in the playoff. Look at where they're at.
If Indiana loses this game, yeah. they're in the playoffs.
Well, that's what I'm
when
saying.
When Indiana loses this
whatever.
Game.
Whatever. Okay. Well, get off your anti-Hoosier kick there, Dustin.
Well, he's an Ohio State.
I'm no fan of Ohio State.
Okay, now you triggered me. Look, I hope Indiana beats Ohio State. I don't think they're going to. I hope they play competitively. I don't think it's going to be. But one loss should not disqualify them from the mix here. And you don't rest your quarterback, even though I understand the logic. You'd have to have a conversation about it. Indiana, one loss to Indiana deserves to be in the playoff. Because their only loss would be to the number two team in the country. But Lane Kiffin is exactly right. You don't want to be in that conference championship. And as far as to answer the question directly, the only complaints might be from Provo, Utah. Morbin Tabernacle Choir might be complaining or a chorus of, why not us? Because Boise State jumped them. And that's going to be something that they get a bye. I don't know how that all works, but like that's the only campus that would be complaining today. Tennessee is eventually going to have a lot to complain about, I believe.
Yes, they will.
This will be a pick six. There's your bowl game.
To what do you attribute the Vooch's terrific start for the Bulls, even playing some defense? Does Vooch want to be traded, or do you think not? Or do you think that Vooch wants to be part of a winning Bulls team?
It's the unusual thing. We'll get into it later. Not a lot of time now. But Vooch has benefited from this change in style more than anybody on the team. Billy Donovan suggests that maybe he had Vooch in mind when changing this style. That's an interesting thing to consider. He's playing well. He's also playing a little defense. Never expected him to be the guy that emerges as the one who would benefit more from this. But the better he plays, the more tradable he becomes because of that contract. I don't like that reality. It's another reality that I really don't like, but I can't even deny.
I guess that cupping, remember I was wondering what all those marks were over his body. I guess that works. So if you're looking for a treatment to get you over the top, maybe choose cupping. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Vooch is a pro. I think that he's playing well. I think the style is perfect for him. And I think when they go inside out, a lot of the inside is just him dunking. I saw a stat out there. I got to go check it. That Patrick Williams is only completing like 28% of his dunks at this season. Is that?
That was a bad miss the other night.
I mean, yeah, that is insane. But Vooch seems to be able to dunk quite well. And it seems like he's getting his shot, and it seems like he's part of this. You know, everybody's looking for a three, and then they're putting the ball to Vooch, and he's delivering. I got to tell you, it is if it is on purpose, then congratulations to Billy, because it's gotten about as much out of him as I expected. Maybe more, quite frankly.